Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all. I heard this Christmas joke the other day. What do you call a group of chess players who are bragging about their games in a hotel lobby? It's chestnuts boasting in an open foyer. Yeah. So I like that one. Well, we're talking about Colossians 4 today, and I actually have a new title. I put that title on the outline when I printed it last week, and then I changed it. So cross off that old title, please. I had actually used that title before, so I'm like, I can't use that again. But it talked about teamwork, but the new title I have is Put on the New Self. Put on the New Self. So please change that out. And that's from actually Ephesians 4, but I think it talks about so much that's in this passage as well. Well, there's three main points I'm going to share with you today. And the first is make time for prayer. And the second is be strategic. What was the last of it? Does someone have their outline? Be strategic. Is that just it? Okay. And then, yes, the final one is focus on the team. So those are the three things we'll talk about. And I don't really have a so what today, because we're talking about the three main points, so I didn't think we needed to repeat them. Okay, the first one, make time for prayer, and this covers the verses from Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Okay, those are important words, and I have some prayer tips for you. How many do I have? Six. And I didn't put this in your outline, so you'll just have to write it in, I suppose. Prayer tips. Okay. And I'm going to ask you, too, at the end of this, what works for you, so be thinking of that. Prayer tips. Number one, find a time that works. We need you to pray. Some people are morning prayers. Some people say night. And I was reading about somebody who, as they're falling asleep, they're saying, you know, that wouldn't work for me because I'd fall asleep too soon. Some people pray on their commute, which is nice. Some people, while they're working, you know, various tasks come up. You know, Lord, give me wisdom as I put this together, or if I had this meeting. You can pray through your to-do list. That's a nice thing. One website I was looking at, this lady says she prays in the shower, and that works for her. We all have different seasons of life, so our prayer needs may change. You know, when we're 18, we have different needs compared to maybe if you were part of a family and had young children, you have different prayer needs as opposed to when you're in your 50s and when you're retired. So different seasons seem to bring along different prayer requests for us. In life. So that was the first tip, though. Find a time that works for you. Some of you know that I like to run. So when I'm out for my 45-minute run, usually, to help me stop thinking about that I'm out there running, I pray. I go through verses of Scripture, and it's wonderful. It always gives me a designated time, and I actually think that's my best time of prayer. Okay, prayer tip number two. Examine your conscience. Examine your conscience as you're sitting down to pray, because sometimes we have maybe unresolved sin in our life, or we have this grudge against this person. We're angry about this. Think about your conscience. The Lord wants prayers from the heart. So we need to, before we go to Him with our requests and praises, examine your heart. If you have sin, you want to confess that, make things right, but examine your conscience. Number three, under prayer tips, thank Him. Come to Him with gratitude, with thanksgiving. Last month, I was sharing about Philippians, and that one verse, rejoice in the Lord always, has stuck with me. And I just keep that with me throughout the day, and it's been such a blessing to me that He wants us to do that. So thank Him. One source I was looking at said, consider a gratitude journal. I thought this was sort of interesting. Just keep a journal of all the things you're thankful for, all the prayer requests that have been answered, a gratitude journal. So under prayer tips, we said first, find a time that works. Second, examine your conscience. Third, thank him. Another thing you can do is pray through a devotional book or spiritual book or scripture itself. Like if you were looking at the verse Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That would be a nice verse just to sort of pray through and say, Lord, help me with that. Gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, peace, joy. I need your help with that. So we can pray through scripture or use a devotional book. So that was number four. Number five is just to talk to him. It's that simple. When you're praying, you can talk to him anytime. And imagine if you had a child and the child never talked to you. You knew the child, you knew the child's needs, but the child never talks to you. Wouldn't that be a strange relationship? That's sort of like how the Lord looks at us. He wants us to talk to him, just like if we were a child and he's our parent. He wants that communication. He wants to talk to us. He wants to hear how things are going. And this is really kind of a miracle in that relationship, you know, that the God of the universe, the creator of the stars, cares enough about us that he wants to hear about our day, our struggle, our praises, of course, and what's going on with us. It's amazing to think about that. And number six, as Paul mentioned in these verses, pray for those sharing the good news, because missionaries, pastors, teachers, Sunday school teachers, friends, neighbors, fellow church members, we all need people to pray for us to share the good news, just like Paul was asking these people in Colossae. Pray for those who are sharing the good news, because that is going to boost the power of the Holy Spirit and help it to have a bigger effect. Okay, let's check with a couple of people here. What works with you in terms of praying? Do you have a tip for us? What is something that has worked for you? Maybe it's a time or a practice. Who's got something? Yes.
I have a prayer journal that I do in the morning, and then I flip through. And what's really nice is that I've done it for years, so I even have prayer requests, but answers to prayer, which is really cool too.
Okay. Thanks. Maris mentioned she has a prayer journal, and it's been a blessing to her over the years. Okay. Anyone else? All right, let's press on then. Let's see. So we talked about make time for prayer. We talked about some prayer tips. Oh, well, everyone, the next little section I want to talk to you about for a minute, I just call this questions about prayer. Because I've been struggling with this the last few weeks, is I just have some questions about prayer. For example, God knows what's going to happen. The future is set in so many ways. So where does prayer come in? You know, if he's got things set up, how is my prayer going to change how he has things set up? So that's just something I sort of struggle with and wonder about. And I'll just share with you that he wants us to participate. And if you'd write down that word, participate, he wants us to be involved with him through prayer and to participate and not just to leave it up to him. And there's a couple examples from Scripture that I think we can take encouragement from. And the first one is from Exodus 32. Exodus 32, verses 9 through 14. And in this example, this is with the golden calf, remember? And Moses is up on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments from God. But then God sort of interrupts him and says, you need to go down to the people. They are being disobedient. And God says in verse 9, I have seen these people. They are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. He's talking to Moses. So here God is ready to destroy these people. His anger is burning against them. But verse 11, But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with the evil intent that he brought them out to kill them? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. So I think we can get a principle there from Exodus 32 that even though things are set, the Lord or God has his ideas of what he wants to do, prayer can affect that at times and change that. But you might think of some people you know, like say we have a relative, let's just call him Uncle Joe. And say Uncle Joe is sick in the hospital with cancer, and he's part of our congregation. We're all praying for him. We want Uncle Joe to, you know, have a full recovery. But other people might be praying for Uncle Joe's son. Let's call him Stan. Stan is away from the Lord. He's into alcohol. He's got all these problems. So all these people are praying for Uncle Joe's son, Stan. We're praying for Uncle Joe to get healed. So the Lord takes it all in, but his purpose is more focused on Stan now because he wants him to have the relationship. So he might say no to our prayers to healing because if Uncle Joe passes on, that's going to be something that really works in Stan's life, and the Lord knows that. And so that actually answers a bunch of people's prayers too, maybe even Uncle Joe's. So do you see that there's sort of a struggle of sorts going on here when these prayers are coming in? The Lord knows what's best. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to participate. Some things are set, and others we can have an influence on. But ultimately, prayer changes us. And we'll talk about that in a moment. And there's two things we can do in terms of making an impact on this world. Number one is we can act. You know, we see a situation, we get involved, we act. That makes a difference. We can share the good news, we act, we can, you know, give, we can be of service, we act. That changes the future, potentially. Us getting involved, we act. And the second thing is we can pray, because that also has the opportunity to change the future in a certain way. I was thinking about those two things. It's almost like a video game where, you know, you're playing a video game and then all of a sudden you've opened up a whole new area of the video game that you've never been in before. That's almost like when we act, when we make a decision to do something, a whole new realm is opened up, or we pray, a whole new area is opened up. And for Paul, he was asking for prayer for his ministry there in this area of Asia Minor, Ephesus, Colossae, Philippi. And it's important to see that prayer changes things in gradual, sometimes subtle ways. We don't see it exactly. But look at what happened with Paul and these churches. You know, he even has churches popping up where he never visited. And I think that's what happened with Colossae, right? He never visited there. But someone who was at the church in Ephesus went there, and through prayer and service, we have a whole church there of believers. So the prayer is impacting things in gradual ways that Paul didn't even realize. And one of the persons who's listed at the end of this, this Aristarchus, he is from a church in Thessalonica, another place where Paul visited. But we don't know the rest of his story. We just know that he became a companion of Paul. So this Aristarchus must have heard the preaching of Paul in Thessalonica and somehow became a believer and now is one of Paul's associates. So prayer changes things in gradual and subtle ways. Well, one more thing about prayer, and that is the idea that prayer changes us. You know, we can pray about things and say, Lord, I want you to bend your will to my will. Mm-hmm. Or we can say, your will is something I'd rather have. So in that case, we're bending ourselves to his will. And that's what I think is important to think about with prayer changing us. And so when we pray, we are changed because we see things more from his perspective, which is important. And the verses from Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, when Jesus was in Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And then he said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. And going to a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. And then what does he say next? Not as I will, but as you will. And so here, incredible example, Jesus is asking, maybe I don't have to go to the cross, you know? Maybe there's a different way. But then he said, not my will, but your will. And that was a comfort to him. And he realized that, you know, the plan of him going to the cross is for all of us and was so much more important. And now, just close that section with a couple more points. In James chapter 5, 16, it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And then John chapter 16 talks about the Holy Spirit, the counselor that we have. So remember the counselor, the Holy Spirit, in your prayers. He will help us to know what to pray for, guide us, give us wisdom, the counselor. This whole topic we just talked about, a prayer, you know, we could almost do like a 6-month college course on it. It's just so deep and so broad, and just looking up all the verses on prayer and so forth would be so interesting and important and helpful. But there's so much to this, and I feel like we've just scratched the surface a little bit, but it's still important. Okay, that was our first point here. Our second point, Paul is talking about be strategic. In verse 5, he says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And this could be another 6-month college course, everyone. How to, you know, deal with people and respond to people who are not believers. Well, I've broken this down into two areas. One is behavior and one is conversation. So if you want to write that on your notes, the first one is behavior. I remember I was with this group of Christian young people, and we were at this retreat. And the speaker who we had over this 2-day period, I'll never forget his talk, because he gave us like, I think it was like 3 1-hour talks about the situation in his life. And the situation in his life is his father was a preacher. This young man's father was a preacher. But on Sunday, this preacher was loved. He had wonderful sermons, you know. Everyone seemed to like him on Sundays. But this guy was his son, and he said the rest of the week, he was horrible. He just, you know, abused these people. He belittled them. His words were horrible. And so that's what this guy was talking about to these Christian young people, is, you know, you can't be this on Sunday and then this horrible person, horrible father to this family the rest of the week. And I've just never forgotten that, because it's just such a contrast. So behavior is so important. You can't be one thing on Sunday and something else to your friends and coworkers. So think about your behavior to coworkers, friends, people you meet, family, neighbors. We want to have, as believers, joy. We don't want to be down in the dumps. We don't want to be Eeyore. We don't want to be glum. We should work on our charm, our grace. Be gracious to people. Do good. Avoid offense. And this is really hard. You know, avoiding offense with, say, neighbors. It could be like, you know, your yard is just so nice. There's not a weed in it. But your neighbor just has all these dandelions and other stuff, and they're starting to creep into your yard. Do you go over and say, hey, are you going to take care of this? You know, so maybe it's better, though, as a believer, just to say, I'm just going to let it go. You know, dandelions aren't that so important in terms of the kingdom. But maybe you could have a conversation with him. And you can say, here, I bought you some weed killer. You can even use my fertilizer.
Or you use Roundup.
Okay, use Roundup. But it's really, it takes wisdom to know what to do, because we have these interactions with people all the time. And so many people are watching us because we say we have the truth. And we want to avoid having a bad attitude, avoid yelling at people. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are changed, and people need to see that, and they're watching us constantly. I'm always trying this to do my best at work of not talking about coworkers, but it's happening everywhere, you know. And I'll hear others talking about coworkers, and I'll just be like, bite my tongue, you know. I just sort of sit there and I don't join in, and it's just something that I just have to struggle with, because I want to join in sometimes, but I'm just like, nope. But people are watching you. And then this could be a platform for a ministry too. You know, people see that you don't participate in this stuff, and they're like, what's with you? You know, why aren't you, gossiping and talking bad and telling these foul jokes? So really pray about this, because this is important. And like I said, you need wisdom. And think of Jesus' example, you know. He met each person where they were, whether it was the woman at the well, whether it was Nicodemus, the Jewish leader. He took time to listen. He had patience. And I think we need to do that as well. We need to be a servant. We need to have respect for all people. We need to treat them with dignity. Take off our old self, put on our new self. I think of 1 Corinthians 13, and this is where Paul is saying, you know, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Oh, I need help with that. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So Paul is writing to the Colossians saying we need to be different and take advantage of the opportunity and be wise in how you work with outsiders. Well, we talked about behavior. Now let's talk about conversation. Oh, this is an important one too. I think our conversation needs to be encouraging, needs to be discreet. You know, sometimes we just talk too much. We need to praise others. We need to have kindness. Let's avoid gossip, putting down others, foul language, too much talking, self-praise, bragging, and focusing on possessions or status. You know, you might be telling your neighbor about, you know, I don't know, your multiple snowmobiles, your multiple vehicles, your exotic vacations. I don't know, you know, if you're trying to minister to them, you know, think about that sort of things. What you talk about with people. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." Conversation and behavior. Think about those things. Okay, let's move to point number 3. And this is a focus on the team. You know, Paul lists all these people at the end of Colossians, and there are 10 people listed here. This is the second longest list of people who are listed at the end of a book in the Bible. Does anyone know what the longest list of people listed is? It's Romans. Romans has 26 people that Paul mentioned at the end of that. But this list in Colossians has 10. And it's interesting that 7 of these people listed in Colossians are also listed in the short book of Philemon. 7 of those same people. Just sort of interesting. I was reading about this, and you know, the first person we'll talk about is this Tychicus. He seems to be a messenger. He was carrying letters. And Bible scholars think that because he's carrying this letter to the Colossians, And a lot of these people are also mentioned in the Philemon letter, that he probably carried both. And he also talks about a letter to the Laodiceans. Some people think that might be the letter to Ephesians. So this Tychicus is a messenger. So let's talk about these people. But before we get into this, this is the point I'm trying to make here, is ministry takes a team. It's not just Paul out there doing the work. He's got all these people behind him. He's got people taking messages. He's got people praying. I mean, really, prayer warriors here. He's got other people who just go with him when he's in prison, like this Aristarchus and others, you know, house imprisonment, of course. And it made me think of us here in our ministry. We have a team here. We have a wonderful team. It's not just one person. You know, we have the people who are speaking on Sunday, and then we have our wonderful musicians. You know, we have Greg and Mark and Tucker and Maris and Terry and Carrie. And then we have, you know, Jim helping with the technology, and we have Terry helping with the snacks, and we have all these people who help with the setup and the breakdown, and Paula and others help with the reading scripture. And then we have all the people who are helping with the communications that come out each week, and the programs, and the people who are greeting, and everyone has a hand in this. And so we just appreciate each one of you and all you're doing. And it takes a team, and we see that with Paul as well. Well, let's talk briefly about each of these people. This Tychicus, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, everyone, but let's see, Paul says that Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is our dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant of the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Notice that Paul praises these team members. He says about Tychicus, he's our dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant. That's important for a leader of the team to praise the team members. Next is Onesimus. Verse 9 said, he's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. What else do we know about Onesimus from the scriptures? He's an escaped slave who came to Paul in Rome, apparently. This person, Philemon, is Onesimus's owner. It's a delicate letter, the letter of Philemon, because Paul is writing to him saying, I want you to welcome him back as a brother. Paul says, I'll take on any costs that there might be. Onesimus is a member of the church in Colossae there. Fascinating individual here. So he's a slave, and Paul could have said, Onesimus, the escaped slave. But no, he says, our faithful and dear brother. So he was useful. And we'll come back to this whole Philemon thing in a moment. Letter C, this Aristarchus. He's the one from Thessalonica I told you about. In verse 10, Paul says, my fellow prisoner, Aristarchus. He's mentioned in Acts 19, Acts 20, and Acts 27. He was on the voyage to Rome when they had the shipwreck. He was with Paul in Ephesus when they had the riot. So he was a trusted companion of Paul as well. Letter D is Mark. Here we get the information that he's the cousin of Barnabas. So that helps with the whole in Acts. Remember, there was a disagreement about taking Mark. Barnabas said, no, we should. Well, he's his cousin.
It's the intro to next week.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Yeah. But in 2 Timothy, Paul is reconciled to Mark and says, I need him. He's also mentioned in Philemon 24. And then he travels with Peter, apparently, in 1 Peter 5. Mark is an associate to Peter. It's interesting, at the end, this list of 10 people, we have Mark and Luke. So there's two gospel writers here in this list, which is very interesting. Letter E, this Jesus called Justice. He sends greetings. And Paul mentioned, these are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom. So he's emphasizing that Jewish believers are helping and are important. Letter F is this Epaphras, who is one of you. He's mentioned at the beginning of the book of Colossians. And then he said, he is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. It gets us back to what we were talking about with prayer. So wrestling in prayer for you, that means time. So Epaphras is really spending time praying for the people here. Letter G is Luke, also a gospel writer. And we get the most important phrase about Luke here, that he's a doctor. This is the only time he's ever called a doctor. If we didn't have this in verse 14, we would not know Luke is a doctor. He also mentions Demas. But let's talk about him for a moment. He is mentioned in 2 Timothy, verse 4, because he forsakes Paul. Demas, he says, he loved this world and has left me. So, you don't want to be mentioned in the scriptures for leaving Paul because you love this world. But it's something we are all tempted by, everyone. So help us not to be someone who left because we love this world. Archippus, letter, is that I? Yeah. This is an enigma because Archippus is mentioned in Philemon, and it's almost like he's the son of Philemon, Archippus. Because he mentions Philemon, he mentions his wife, and then he mentions Archippus. They're like a family unit. So to tell him, see that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord, it's sort of an enigma. We don't know what that ministry is. He's just telling him, complete it. Some have speculated and said, since Onesimus is the slave owned by his father Philemon, maybe Archippus owns Onesimus, but there's really nothing to back that up. So we don't know what this ministry is, but if we have a ministry, we feel the Lord is put on our hearts, we need to follow through with that. And then ending here, Paul says, just after this letter has been read to you, see that's read in the other churches. And then he mentions in verse 18, I write this in my own hand, which he did in two other of his letters, which is sort of interesting. But imagine if we had a copy of that, Paul's signature. That would be interesting. Okay, we've talked a lot about a lot of important stuff. You've been such good listeners. Let me just close with this verse from Ephesians 22. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. It's just so marvelous and wonderful to us, even though at times it's a mystery. But you've encouraged us to keep digging, keep studying, keep meditating, keep praying, and we learn more. Pray for my friends and brothers and sisters here today that you bless each one. Help us each to come to know you more. Help us as we think about our prayer life. Help us as we think about our interactions with others, and help us think about ourselves as a ministry team. Thank you for this time. Amen.